Lord, thank you. So, as I was saying, thank you for being back here tonight. Sorry you have to hear me again, and you're probably going to have to hear me again Wednesday night, depending on weather, so sorry about that. But it's a blessing to be back here. It truly is. And sometimes actually all the time, it's scary being back here. It doesn't matter how many times you do it. It's scary, and it's not, it used to be, when I first, the very first time I preached and a couple times after that, it was scary because I'm preaching, you know, or I'm talking in front of a crowd, and that was scary. But then the more you do it, the more you realize, the more you think, it's scary because you're doing the work of God. You're trying to relay a message that God wants you to relay. You're doing God's work. And if you put yourself into it, if you mess up in any way, you're disappointing God. That's a scary feeling. It's scary to be back here. It really is. But that fear gets you closer to Him. That fear puts you in this book and it gets you closer to Him. And it's amazing. And I can't believe somebody like me, you know, most of you don't know who I used to be. So when I say somebody like me, you don't understand it. But I do. My dad, you know, dad does. A couple people here do. Somebody like me, to be able to be behind the pulpit and teaching and preaching the Word of God is a miracle. It is a miracle. I can't believe I'm back here. It's still like my mind is blown. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, we're all sinners. Every single one of us. We all know this. But sometimes I feel like we take it for granted. You know, we're talking about grace. We're singing about God's grace. Sometimes people think that God owes us salvation. People think that. People actually think that God owes it to me. God doesn't owe us anything. We need to remember who we were. We do, and we need to look back and remember where God brought us from. And we got to remember that it's all God and it's none of us. I'm here because of God, not because of me. We are all sinners. Grace means we don't deserve what we're getting. God is rewarding us and we don't deserve it. We need to remember that. And if you truly think, and you know, I know I'm speaking to the choir here because it's a Sunday night. If you're here faithful, I'm pretty sure you're born again. But if you're not, you know, if you think that you're entitled to salvation, if you think God owes you, you need to check your own heart. Amen. Because God doesn't owe you anything. Right. I want to look at, it seems like I preach on Apostle Paul a lot. But you could get a lot out of Apostle Paul. The more I read the Bible, the more I read about Apostle Paul, the more I see how he is just the example of a Christian that we need to lead, or we need to live. We need to, you know, he's our example. Of course, like, God in Christ is our example, but Apostle Paul being a sinful being, being like we are, for him to just drop everything and just, he preaches to every single person he ever came in contact with. You know, he does whatever God wanted him to do, he did. And that's exactly what we need to do. And I want to look at Apostle Paul tonight and a couple things we want to look at, and we'll get you out of here on time. So if you could turn your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I brought up sin for a reason. Because, again, in Romans 3:23, it says we all sin, which we do. Every single one of us sin. We can't control it. It's in our nature. We're born into sin. But there's also sin that people struggle with on a daily basis or on a regular basis. There's stuff that, as individuals, we struggle with. And everybody's different, and our walk is different, and we all struggle through something differently. We're not all the same. In verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says, "At least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, that were given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Apostle Paul says that he has a thorn in his flesh. And I can relate. All of us probably can, if you put it in perspective. You know, the thorn is something, and he tells you here, it's something that Satan, that the devil tempts him with. It's a sin or it's something in his life that maybe in his past life that he didn't want to fully put away yet, or something that he enjoys doing even though he knows it's wrong. So the devil tempts him, because that's what he does. That's what the devil does. He tempts us. And every one of us has that one certain thing that the devil knows can draw us away from God, and the devil will tempt you. And that's what Paul's talking about here, a thorn. You know, there's plenty of times, and I'm not picking on you, Pop, but there's plenty of times where Pastor talks about when he was saved, and he stopped drinking, and he stopped smoking, and he stopped doing this, and he stopped doing that, which is
just so straight,
which is great, which is awesome, but not everybody's like that. Not every single person who gets saved can be like that. There's other things that, you know, that he struggles with that someone else doesn't. There's other things that people struggle with. You know, some people struggle with cigarette smoke. Even though they got saved, they still struggle with cigarettes, and they have a hard time putting that down. Other people struggle with alcohol. No matter what it is, they have a hard time putting that down. Other people, it's lust, or it's pride, or it's this. You know, there's usually one thing that people struggle with. We are all different. We're individually different. So it might have been easy for him to put down drugs, alcohol, smoking, lusting, and that, but it might be harder for somebody else. But that somebody else probably could have put off pride and other things that somebody else couldn't. So we all have one thing. Apostle Paul's talking about a thorn that he has. Doesn't really tell us what it is. It might have been pride, but it doesn't tell us really what it is. But there's that one thing we struggle with. Always. No matter what. We struggle. For me personally, you know, people don't know this, but I've mentioned it once or twice. For me personally, it is cigarettes. My flesh likes to smoke. I don't understand it. When Joe preached a couple weeks ago, he was saying that our flesh does things and likes things that kills us. So I don't understand it. My flesh likes to smoke. So every day I wake up, it's a battle. Even though I haven't smoked in years, it's a battle every single day for me not to buy a pack of cigarettes. It's a battle every single day when I smell cigarettes on people when I see cigarettes. It's a battle for me every single day not to go to that cigarette. And the devil knows this. And he tempts me. I go into Wawa to buy a coffee. The devil says, "Why don't you ask for a pack of cigarettes?" And I hear it in my ear every single time. That's my thorn. Whatever your thorn is, you know it. I don't. God knows it. I don't. But there's always something that we struggle with. Eve fell to the lust of her eyes. The devil knew it. The devil persuaded her, tempted her, and she fell with the lust of her eyes because the fruit looked good. So she partook in it. Cain fell to jealousy. Cain was jealous of his brother because God loved him or respected his offering more, and Cain was jealous, and anger consumed him, and he killed his brother. Think about this one. This one always gets me. This is how cunning the devil is. Don't ever think that he's not. A third of the angels from heaven fell because of lust and because of pride. A third of the angels that were in heaven that knew God, that physically saw God, that spoke to God, that knew exactly everything that God is and God was, things that we can't even fathom yet because we haven't been to heaven, but they are up there and they know what's going on and they fell. That's how cunning the devil is. Don't ever think that you can outsmart the devil. King David, a man after God's own heart, fell to lust. Apostle Peter, who walked with Jesus Christ, he knew who Jesus Christ was. It was the faith of Peter who said, you are the Son of the living God, but yet denied Christ. Denied Jesus Christ. If we deny Jesus Christ today, we're going to hell. So that sin's powerful. He denied Jesus Christ. We all have a certain sin. That's kind of what Paul's talking about. He has a thorn in his flesh. It's just something that the devil knows that he could tempt him with. Doesn't mean he's going to fall to it. Doesn't mean he does it on a regular basis. It just means the devil knows that it's something that will tempt you, that will lure you away, that you might even think about for, you know, a couple seconds before you stop yourself. We all have that certain sin, all of us. Might even be more than one thing. It could be anything. It could be TV. It could be music. It could be people that you're hanging around with. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be, you know, a big sin. It could be something really small. But if it's putting a wedge between you and God, then there's a problem. So, we look at verse 8. It says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. So Paul's showing us exactly what we need to do. So you know yourself, you know that you have this temptation, you know that you have something that might make you fall, you know you have something that separates you from God or that possibly can, you know you have something that the devil can distract you with and can tempt you with, so what are you supposed to do? Pray. Pray. Paul said he prayed three times. It's a fervent prayer. You pray, you go to God. You ask God, God, you know I have this. God, please help me. Whatever it takes, you pray.
Amen. Amen.
You reach God.
Amen.
You don't just say words, you pray.
Amen.
Now, I use this illustration a lot, but I'm going to do it again, and I know she gets embarrassed every time I do. If it wasn't for prayer, if it wasn't for fasting, I would not have that beautiful wife back there. I would not have that wife back there. It was my fervent prayer. I fasted for 3 days. I almost gave up on her. I was actually fasting for God to take the way I feel about her away. Because I thought I had no chance. She denied me. I thought I had no chance. So I was praying for God to take that away from me. And I fasted for 3 days. And then on the third day, she reaches out to me for the very first time. And we've been talking ever since. But it was because of that fervent prayer. It was because of that fasting. It was because God saw I was real. I reached out to God. I was praying. I was talking to God. I was crying out to Him. And what did He do? He gave me the desire of my heart. We have to reach out to God. If you have something that you're struggling with and you're not praying and you're wondering why you're still struggling with it, check yourself. You need to pray. Praying is so important. It's very important. And it's not just words. You know, it's true. And I'm guilty. I preach to myself just like, you know, when I say things, it's because I lived through it and I'm still living through it. And that's why I say it. But there's times where, you know, I pray and I just feel like I'm talking. And I don't feel like I've reached God. I don't feel like I'm getting a hold of God. I'm just talking. I mean, it's good, you know, you're getting a habit to do it, which is good. But it's not fervent. It's just, I know I have to pray, so I'm just talking. And I know we've all done it. Sure, we all have. You know, real quick before we eat, or real quick before bed, or real quick when we wake up because we have things to do and we get distracted. So we put God on the back burner and we're just talking to the air. And that's not what God wants. God wants our hearts.
Amen.
You know, when I look at my wife and I tell her I love her, she knows I mean it. She sees it in my eyes. She can see my heart through my eyes. That's what God wants.
Amen.
God wants it to be in your heart.
Amen.
God wants to see that in your heart. Prayer. Apostle Paul prayed three times. He begged the Lord to remove this thorn from him, whatever it was. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God tells you exactly what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to pray, you reach out to God, and you resist the devil. You resist the devil by praying. You resist the devil by praying. It's really that simple, and then the devil will flee. And that temptation goes away. And of course, it comes back the next day or whenever. It always comes back because you have to renew your new man every day. It's a daily battle. But it's an easy battle when God gives you the instructions. But we don't actually listen. It's so crazy how we don't listen when God just writes everything down. And I'm guilty of it too. I really am. There's times where I'm going through something and I'm expecting my wife to give me an answer. Or I'm expecting my dad to give me an answer. You know, instead of going to God. Like I know I should. And we all do it because we live in this flesh. Submit yourselves to God. And you'll resist the devil. The devil will flee. It's that simple. So these thorns that we have them for a reason. We really do. We have them for a reason. Let's continue to read. So we left off at verse 8. It says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, Jesus talking, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So God lets us go through things. God doesn't take things away. So even when you're praying, you have something you're going through and you're praying, you might get an answer. Doesn't mean God's going to take it. It might not be the answer that you want to hear. So don't get frustrated and don't get angry at God if he says no. My grace is sufficient for you. You have this because if you didn't have it, you'd be too prideful. You wouldn't need me. That's what God's saying. God's saying if I take that from you, you won't need it. You won't need me anymore. God does things to keep us humble. So we have to stay in the sight of God. So we have to pray to him because God wants that relationship with us. He wants us to constantly pray. He wants to talk to us every day. I can't even imagine going an hour without talking to my wife. Don't you think God's the same way? God even more so with God. But we don't see it that way because we can't physically see God. And our hearts aren't open up to him. If you really want God to help you and you want God to be in your life and you want God to bless you and you want God to get you through the troubles and the trials and the tribulations and you want God to help you when the devil's attacking you and tempting you and you want God to be there for you, you need to be there for him every day. You can't just expect him to just say, oh, okay, you need me? Okay. God doesn't work that way. It's the same as a relationship. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. It's the same thing as a relationship. Your wife or your husband, they need you there. They need you to tell them you love them. They need you to do things for them just to show your appreciation. God is the same way. God wants you. He doesn't need it, but he wants you to show your love for him. He wants you to tell him you love him. When was the last time you told God you loved him? When was the last time you've done something for God without asking for something for him? We always want, we always want, we always want. When do we give? We need to give to God. It's great when you give to other people. It feels awesome. It's one of the greatest feelings in the world. When you help somebody and you give to somebody and you see the light of them smile and they just light up by helping them, do it to God. And God will put that light on you. And he will fill you. So you can be a blessing to other people. We need to give to God. God gives us, he gives us his thorns. He wants to be close to us. It's pretty awesome that God, the creator, he is our creator. He created all this. If you look at the sun and you look at the flowers, you smell these beautiful flowers that are in here right now. God created all this stuff and he wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to love him. That is amazing to me that he wants it. I was once lonely and I was once depressed, and I'm sure that we've all been there at one point. And being lonely is not fun. But when you have Jesus, you're never lonely. You're never lonely. You're always happy. Always joyful. Doesn't mean you don't get stressed out. Doesn't mean you don't get frustrated. But we react, being a child of God, having Jesus Christ in my heart, I might get frustrated at things, but I'm still happy. It's so hard. Sometimes it's hard to explain. I'm frustrated, but I'm happy. You know, and people, when I go to work, people say it all the time. They ask me how I'm doing. I always say, I'm wonderful. God, and they always say, you never give me another answer. I say, no, because I'm always wonderful. I'm always happy. Because it doesn't matter what's going on in my life right now. I deserve to be in hell. I'm going to heaven. Nothing else matters. It doesn't. Nothing else matters. God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. These verses right here, just these couple verses, is so powerful. There's so much just in these 3-4 verses. It's pretty amazing. God's glory, God's grace, God's love is amazing. It truly is. Look at verse 10. I'm sorry, look at verse 11. It says, I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. So Apostle Paul is acknowledging that he needs to glorify God in everything, no matter what happens in his life. In my infirmities, I need to glorify you. When things are going wrong, I need to glorify you. When I'm being tempted, when I sin, doesn't matter what, I need to glorify you. I need to reach out to you. I need you in my life. Because without God, we cannot do this on our own. You can't. Impossible. This world will chew you up. The devil will chew you up and spit you out and leave you there. It's tough. We need God. And I know people in my life, in my world, in my family that are just depressed all the time. And I know that all they need is Jesus. But they fight it. But they fight it, and they don't want to give in, and they don't want to submit. Why? Because you might have to give up a drink? Because you might have to give up who you hang around with? That's what they're holding on to. Wouldn't you rather have joy and happiness? I am more happy now than I've ever been when I was lost. Doesn't matter all the things I've done. Doesn't matter the partying I used to do, the friends I used to go out with. I will take this any day of the week because I am happy and joyful no matter what happens in this world. It is awesome. We're at a funeral here Saturday. It was depressing. It really was. There was a depressing spirit in here because they weren't saved. The lady who died wasn't saved. It's sad. I had a hurt spirit. My heart just hurt. But the good thing is, God still used that. We have, 5 people raise their hand? 8 people raise their hand for salvation. So God used someone's death. God used something that was sad. It was heartbroken. But God used that for other people, reached other people so they can have salvation. So whatever you're going through, whether it's a thorn in the side, whether it's a trial or tribulation, God has a reason. Might be for your benefit to help you grow through something, but it might be for somebody else. Stop being so selfish and thinking, why am I going through this? Glorify God in your infirmities. Glorify God no matter what's going on. I guarantee you, you can have the... You can just have somebody close to you die. You can have, you know, lose your job or a pet or just be dirt poor and broke. But if you glorify God in it, you'll have happiness and you'll have joy. It's hard for normal people to realize that, but born again people who have Jesus Christ inside them, you can understand it. But why as Christians do we forget that? Why do we forget that? You glorify God. Thank Him for it. That's one thing that I learned at a seminar that I was taking, that my beautiful mother-in-law back there made me take before I could marry her daughter. but I was taking a seminar, but it's so true. If you thank God for the things that you go through, if you thank Him for it, He will bless you. And He will help you get through that. If you thank Him for anything that you're going through, if you have a disability, thank God for it, because you probably have that disability for a reason, because you can use that to reach a certain person. Thank God for that. That's what Apostle Paul's talking about here, thanking God for going through things. Now, if you know the story of Apostle Paul, he spent a lot of time in jail. How many times do you know people in jail, they're just miserable because they're locked up, their freedom is gone. Apostle Paul's singing and leading guards to the Lord because he's glorifying God. He's praising God in his infirmities. That's what we need to do. Glorify God. Prayer life. Bible reading. Witnessing. You know, there's... A lot of new Christians, they always ask me, I don't know how to witness. I'm scared to do it. But if you have a good prayer life and a good Bible reading life, the witnessing will come easily. The reason why you're scared is because you don't know this word and you're not close to God. So it's harder for you to witness to somebody else. But if you have a great prayer life with God and you're close with God and you're reading God's word, witnessing is easy. It is. It's just easy. I was at, I think it was Wednesday, I was at a person's house giving them an estimate, and he had like all these, he had bookshelves and bookshelves of Bible studies, which was really cool. I asked him about it, of course, and he said he went to seminary school, and a pastor friend of his passed away, and he left them all the books. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But he had, all these study Bibles. And it was NIV and N King James, and so he had like all these different versions. And I asked him, because I knew I was doing my Sunday school message. So I asked him, I was like, oh well, which one do you prefer? And he actually said, I prefer the King James. I was like, praise the Lord. I was like, praise the Lord. I don't even know why I brought that up, but God will put things in your life, you know, for a reason. Even good things, He will uplift you. I was worried all week about my Sunday school message. And I honestly believe with all my heart that God brought me that estimate for a reason. To uplift me, to assure me that I was doing what God wanted me to do. I was doing God's will. Why else, seriously, would I go to a customer, and this never happens, I'd go to a customer and had bookshelves of Bible studies. Of different translations. It was just God saying, bam, yes, I want you, this is what I want you to do. So God will answer your prayer. Prayer life, Bible reading. Everything else fall into place. Where is your prayer life? Where's your Bible reading? I know sometimes we get busy. We get busy. But that's why the very first thing I do before I wake, when I wake up, the very first thing I do is read my Bible. The very first thing. Because when you start doing other things, then you don't have time for it. If I wake up a little late, I notice, okay, I'll read my Bible after I get in the shower. And then I don't do it because I'm running late. So I get in the shower and I rush to work and I skip my Bible reading. So even if you're running late, if you pick up your Bible, you read just one chapter, you get it, you read your Bible. And then go about your day. He's so cute. It's kind of hard. You see a family walking away and a little kid talking, so sorry. Where's your prayer life? Are you talking to God every day? You need to be real with yourself, because I'm done. I'm sorry, but you need to be real with yourself. You could, like Joe said earlier today, you can fool me. You could fool the pastor. You can fool your family. You're not fooling God. You're not fooling God. Salvation is not the end. Salvation is great. It's awesome that I'm going to heaven. I can't believe I'm going to heaven. Woo! It's awesome that I'm going to heaven. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. You have, that's just the beginning. Then you have rewards that you can build in heaven. You have loved ones that you know if they don't accept Jesus Christ, they're going to burn in hell. That should be on the forefront of your mind every time you see them. I need to do whatever I can. Lord, please help me do whatever I can to witness to them, to lead them to you. Because if you truly love them, you don't want them to be in hell. And that's where they're going to be. It's not a joke. The more I think about it, the more I realize that Jesus is coming soon. All the stuff that's going out in this world, going on in this world right now, it's disgusting. It really is. It's disgusting. You know, I don't want to say too much because there are children here, but you know, Disney, they're trying to make it, and I don't even want to talk about it because it's disgusting. You guys know what I'm talking about, so I don't need to get into detail. But that's where our world's coming to. Jesus warns us about this stuff. So he's coming back. So it's time now. Are you going to be, you know, the story of the five, the ten virgins? Are you going to be the five that was ready when he came back? Or are you going to be the five that was empty, that wasn't ready at all, that missed him when he comes back? Where are you going to be? Are you going to be ready? Right now, if God came back tonight, are you ready? He can.
Amen. Amen.
Poof. Just like that twinkling of an eye. God could be back tonight. And just because you think you're saved, even if you know you're saved, doesn't mean you're guaranteed to go. You could get left behind. And that's scary. That's scary. Because then the only way to get to heaven is to be murdered and killed for God's sake. Get your heart right now. Bible reading. Prayer. It's important. It's more important than eating and sleeping. Your spiritual food, which is this word, is more important than going out to eat and eating food. Are you gonna keep feeding your flesh, or are you gonna feed your spirit? You have to ask yourself that. And it's a daily walk every single day. And just remember, if you have that certain temptation, if you have that certain sin that you're battling with, all you have to do is pray. You go to God, you talk to God. He might say no. Don't be discouraged if God says no. But he will take that away from you, you know, for the time being. The devil will flee. It might come back. It comes back for me every morning. I wake up and I don't know what it is. This stupid flesh, I don't know what it is. But I wake up and I want a cigarette. I don't know why. It's been 3.5 years. I don't know why I want a cigarette. But I wake up and I want one. But then I give it to God. I read my Bible. I pray. It's gone. It's gone. So if you're going through something, if the devil is constantly attacking you, where's your prayer life? Pray. Pray. Give it to God. Give it to God. Give him the glory no matter what's going on. Beth, can you come up, please? God just wants you to be real. That's all he wants. He wants you to be real. He doesn't want you to be fake. I challenge you, because I've been there. Sometimes, you know, you have everything up here and you don't transfer it. I've been there. But if it's the truth, if you know what you're supposed to do and you're not doing it, that means it's up here, it's not in here. If you know what you're supposed to do, you're not doing it, it's up here. But it needs to be here. So what do? Pray. Don't be embarrassed. Tell God, God, I have all this that you've given me in my head. Please help me transfer it to my heart. Please help me do it. God said, ask and ye shall receive. All you have to do is ask Him and He will help you transfer it. I was there. I had it all here. And it wasn't until I asked God every single day to transfer it to my heart to where He finally transferred it to my heart. But don't think it's a one-time thing. It's a daily struggle. I mean, there's Miss Donna, you've been saved for how long? Does it get any easier? You battle with your flesh every single day, right? It's a daily walk. So don't ever get discouraged when God doesn't take it away completely. Because it's a daily walk every single day. And I know Christians who actually told me, you know, they can't do it anymore because they just can't handle the fight. Well, then you're handling it on your own. You're not giving it to God. Because we can do all things through Christ. All things. We can handle our flesh. We can handle this world. And we can handle the devil when we do it through Christ. I'm going to do a quick invitation, if that's okay, Pop. So everybody, please stand to your feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And as the music starts playing, this altar's open. Where's your heart today? Is your heart in this world? Is your heart on TV? Is it on video games? Is it on, you know, whatever your thorn is that where your heart is? Or is your heart on God? Ask yourself that. And it's very easy to just reach out to God. It's very easy. You just have to do it. You have to be willing to do it, and you have to want to do it. You know, the pastor says all the time, you fake it till you make it. But you do. If you don't have it in your heart, and you want it in your heart, you keep telling God, I want my heart right. I want my heart right. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Please get your hearts right tonight. Don't wait. Don't wait. Tomorrow's not promised. The Bible says tomorrow's not promised. God can go back tonight. Or as Joey preached this morning, your time can be today. You can go home, get into an accident. I'm not trying to scare you, but it's real. It's true. Doesn't matter how old you are. You can die at 10 years old. You could die at 90 years old. Nobody knows. Tomorrow's not promised. Please get your heart right tonight. Make sure you're ready. Make sure you're one of the 10 that has the oil in their lamps and is ready for God to come back. Heavenly Father, thank you for everything. Thank you. I just thank you. I thank you for the trials that we go through. I thank you for loving us. I thank you for disciplining us when we need it. I thank you for showing us exactly what we need to do, showing us how to live. I thank you for dying on that cross, for shedding your blood for me, for us. I thank you for saving my soul. I thank you for allowing me to spend eternity in heaven when I die. I thank you for allowing me to witness the people and do the work of you. Most of all, Lord, I thank you for loving me. And I just pray, Lord, that you can help me love you more. I pray that you can help us all love you more. You can please soften our hearts, tender our hearts, and just allow us to cry out to you, Abba, Father. Allow us to love you the way that you want us to love you. Please help us. If we have things in our minds, Lord, and not in our hearts, please help us transfer it. If we have a sin that we're battling with or a certain thorn that we're battling with, Lord, please allow us to reach out to you for it. Allow us to reach out to you for the strength. Your grace is sufficient. We thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for being with us. I just pray, Lord, that you please keep us safe on our way home. I pray that you protect us and you guide us. I pray that you keep our minds and our hearts pure and on you. I pray that you just please, please do whatever it takes to reach us in whatever way you want us reached. I don't know everybody here, so I don't know all their hearts, but you do, Father. So I just pray that if there's something that's keeping us from you, that you please just show us exactly what it is so we can remove it. Please bring us back Wednesday night. Keep us safe as the snowstorm is coming. Please guide us and protect us. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.